This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Codill.
Good afternoon. I'm Miriam Sobin for Chris Kreidel. AccuWeather forecast for this afternoon. Clouds and breaks of sun with a shower and thunderstorm around, high 83. Mainly cloudy tonight. It'll be warm and humid with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm, low 72. And then tomorrow, considerable cloudiness. Warm and humid again with a shower or thunderstorm, high 82. It's currently 80 right now at O'Hare, 82 at Midway, 79 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off on a down day on Wall Street. I guess not as far down as it was, though. Let's get all the details now from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Cisco and Miriam. The Dow dipped below 25,000 for the first time in 3 weeks right after the opening bell because of the worst across-the-board losses in 7 weeks. Right now, the blue chip's in the red by 192 points, or 0.75%, to 25,105. NASDAQ down 97 points, or 1.25%, and the S&P lower by 23. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down almost 1%. What's hurting stocks is a little bit of everything. Disappointing earnings from a Chinese tech giant is hurting tech stocks. Turkey's economic crisis remains a worry, and U.S. oil stockpiles jumped the most last week in more than a year. That's hitting oil prices and stocks. Oil prices right now down 3% to $65. Macy's surprise sales growth last quarter was at the expense of profits, and so Macy's is the biggest decliner on the S&P, down 14.5% right now. These losses stand in stark contrast to the news on the economy. The back-to-school shopping season got off to a strong start in July. The Commerce Department says overall retail sales were up 0.5% from June's levels. Back to you, Cisco and Miriam.
Still to come on today's Noon Business Hour, lots going on. We'll talk about Turkey's impact on the wider economy. Also, Vahan Janjigian is going to join us to talk about earnings season as it is well underway.
And we'll learn more about the beer companies that are getting into the pot industry. What does that mean? Plus, is there an age that's a good time to take out your Social Security?
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Beer sales are on the decline and brewers are exploring an emerging area, recreational marijuana. We'll cover that coming up at 12:19. Right now, the financial crisis in Turkey is weighing on the markets. It's also a busy day of data, including the latest report on retail sales. We're joined now by Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, based in New York. Chris, we see each of the indexes has been down about 1% or more throughout the day. Is this all because of Turkey, or are there some other things going on?
I think there's some other things going on as well. It's sort of the combination of strong retail sales, which they really were terrific. July marked the sixth month in a row of advancing retail sales, better than expected, despite weak auto sales. And that's the kind of thing that keeps the Fed on path, of course, to raise interest rates. And then we look overseas, where actually in Turkey things are a little quieter. The Turkish lira continues to recover, although it is still down about 17% in the last week. But there were problems in China last night. Tencent, with a big internet giant in China, their earnings were disappointing. There was a sort of obscure local government company in the hinterlands of China that defaulted on a bond issue. That was a big deal because it's the first time China's allowed a local government bond to default. It raised borrowing costs as a result. And all of this sort of realization that the problems we're seeing in Turkey are bigger, that they affect a bigger part of the emerging market. That's weighing on the metals. It's weighing on oil. and weighing on equities.
Thinking about this earnings season, which has for the most part been pretty good, do you see any other wider economic trends? Is it sustainable? Is it a good thing for the wider economy?
Well, I think that's exactly the right question. And my sense is, yes, it is a good thing. The U.S. economy is strong. It is going to slow some in the second half, but I don't think it's going to slow materially. Earnings have been terrific, and we've sort of grown into earnings this year because we've had a lot of months where stocks were down or sideways, and in the meantime, we continue to put up good numbers. So P.E. ratios look healthier than they did a year ago. You know, this is all good stuff. I think what we're seeing in the markets, the volatility, and this includes the emerging markets, is that the Fed is tightening. And there's always that nagging doubt that they may go too far. I think they're actually paying more attention than they usually do. I suspect they'll get it right for the U.S. economy. But for foreign economies that relied on cheap U.S. dollar funding, Turkey being the sort of poster child of that, they are in big trouble. And they are going to have really hard times in the next couple of years. What that does in the U.S. is it means very likely lower inflation, and the Fed will be able to stop tightening before the U.S. economy slows too much.
Chris, can you tell us a little bit about the rise of productivity? We're seeing reports that it's up, and what exactly does that mean for the U.S. economy?
Yeah, that was terrific news this morning. Productivity growth of 2.9%, the strongest we've seen in years. And as a result, unit labor costs down 0.9%. What it means in a nutshell is that companies were able to produce a lot more with fewer worker hours. And that's a very good thing when you have a low unemployment rate like we do today. It means that companies are getting better at using the workers they have to get goods and services out the door. That keeps costs down. And eventually, it also means that workers will get pay increases. Productivity is really the only way that companies can grow wages without raising prices.
Thanks so much, Chris Lowe, Chief Economist at FTN Financial in New York. Coming up, beer companies are looking to marijuana as their next product.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Another chance for you to win $1,000 in Keyword for Cash about 5 minutes away. But now beer companies are dealing with falling sales. Some are getting into the marijuana business. Let's learn more from Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, also a Fox News business contributor based in Orlando. Gary, what are they trying to do here? Are they putting it into their own products, putting it into beer or something like that, or are they just making money off pot?
Oh, they're going to try anything and everything. Look, the beer business has not been doing well. It's been very flattish, and I guess they think the money is going to be in the pot. They're looking at drinks. They're looking at food. They're looking at the actual weed. They're looking at everything. The new one today is Constellation Brands, putting up a $4 billion investment in a company called Canopy Growth that has never made any money. And right now, so far, the voting on it, not so great, is Constellation Brands is down $14 on it, but who knows? You know, if they can make big bucks off of it, you know, God bless them. And it, we won't know for a while on something like this.
So, and this is because beer sales are down, just not what they used to be.
Not even. We used to have very, very strong beer sales. It is now flat to down in most quarters, and they know they got to look elsewhere. It's kind of like Coca-Cola in years past. Once they owned the world, they had to look at other things. So they got into water, vitamin drinks, and all kinds of other things. And now you're seeing it with the beer companies also.
Now, Greg, Gary, Canada is set to begin legal marijuana sales. Is the U.S. going to lag behind if Canada takes this jump?
Well, the U.S. is lagging behind Canada, but I suspect, and this is just my guess, that eventually will be all legal here in the next decade. I think that's where the momentum's going. I'll leave my personal opinion out of it, but I think that's where the momentum's going, and it's all about the dollar, and it's all about the taxes that are not being collected on the illegal marijuana business. Government wants to get involved in it. That's why they're also legalizing, sports gambling here in the U.S. So again, follow the money, and that's where you're usually going to see the action.
Is this also an attempt to reach out to the younger crowds who aren't drinking as much beer?
It's to any crowd. Their job is to market well. And they've been marketing to the young crowd, the alcohol, for years. They've been marketing in a quiet way to teenagers going, to the 18 to 21 year old. So, I suspect they'll do whatever they possibly can. But again, this is a long-term deal. It's something that's not going to happen today. While the deals are being cut now, I think you got a while before you start to see product.
Yeah, and $4 billion investment. I mean, it's quite a gamble. They must feel pretty confident this is going to work out.
I would suggest $4 billion would be a pretty good number. It's 10% of their market cap. I believe Constellation Brands' market cap is about $40 billion. So, yeah, they're making quite the interesting bet. And if it doesn't pan out, I gather the CEO is going to be bye-bye. I think this is something we'll know in a year or two, not in the next week.
For sure. Time will tell. Thanks, Gary. Always appreciated. Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. His website is GaryK.com. Still ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday. There's fresh fuel in the debate over whether you should wait to claim Social Security benefits. We'll check the markets. WBBM News Time, 12:25. A check of the markets from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow is now falling 223 points, or about 1%, to 25,079. Bigger losses for the NASDAQ composite, down almost 1.5%, or 112 points, and the S&P lower by 27. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is also sinking about 1%. Sears CEO Eddie Lampert has sold some of the chain's best-known brands, including Craftsman, to Stanley Black & Decker last year. Well, now Lampert is selling the Kenmore Appliance and Sears Home Improvement businesses. This time, though, the buyer is Lampert's own hedge fund. The price, $470 million. Sears stock is falling today 12.5%, down to $1.60 a share. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed corn prices here today. Corn's been up 1.5 to down 3. At the moment, we have December corn down 0.5 at 376 3/4. Beans have been down all day from down 0.5 to down 12. They're down 7.5 right now in the November's at 872 1/4. And wheat has been up 1 to down 13. Presently down 10 3/4 in September at 531. Mostly lower across the board. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. Big losses for oil, down almost 3% to $65.14. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Codill.
And I'm Miriam Sobe in for Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are down, but off earlier lows. We'll see what's moving the markets.
In Personal Finance Wednesday, claiming Social Security at age 62 may not necessarily be a bad idea.
Shares of Macy's tumble despite the retailer hiking its forecast for the year.
The Illinois Attorney General is investigating possible financial misconduct by the Puerto Rican Parade Committee of Chicago.
Closing arguments are presented at the trial of former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort.
WBBM Business on the markets right now. The Dow is down 223 points, NASDAQ down 113, S&P down 27.
Lots of clouds in Chicagoland all day long. Chance for some rain and thunderstorms later this afternoon into the overnight hours. High of 83 where we are now, 82 O'Hare, 83 Midway, and 82 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are rebounding a bit after a rough start to the day. We're joined by Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management, based in Greenwich, Connecticut. Vahan, what do you make of what you see today?
Well, today we're having a big sell-off, primarily in reaction to international news, what's going on in Turkey. And we woke up this morning with the announcement that the Turks have decided to impose tariffs on American goods. So there's this big trade war going on, and that's got investors concerned. And that's one thing that concerns me. But I'm also concerned about the big sell-off in oil that we're seeing. And I'm also concerned about that big sell-off in Macy's that you just mentioned. The retail sector is often an indicator of how people think about the economy. And when you see a big sell-off in retail stocks, especially after Macy's announces such great results, it might be an indication that perhaps investors are thinking about a recession not too far down the road.
You talked about tariffs and how they've been in place, concerning a lot of investors. Assuming that these are not long term, that they're here for a while but then gone, is there some sort of a fear among investors that tariffs such as these would become a regular part of the way countries operate, therefore making things a little tougher for investors?
Yes, I think you're right. In fact, when we first heard about all this discussion about tariffs, I think most investors thought that this was just some kind of a ploy by President Trump in order to, you know, force these countries to negotiate better trade terms. Nobody really believed that these tariffs would go into effect or that they would be so prolonged or so much. But now I think investors are beginning to believe that perhaps a lot of these countries are not going to simply fold the way the president was hoping, and that this this tariff war could be prolonged. And that's really going to affect international business. And if we see a significant drop in overseas sales for American companies, for example, this could bring on a recession. International trade is a big part of our GDP.
Now, speaking of international trade, I mean, are we going to see a ripple effect with what's happening in Turkey? For example, in India, the rupee was losing value as of today.
Well, that's certainly a concern. I'm not too worried about that. I think that what's going on in Turkey is can be isolated. I think it's very particular to Turkey itself. Turkey has been very reluctant to make the kinds of financial changes that it needs to make, especially increasing interest rates. President Erdogan has been very opposed to tightening monetary policy there, although now many of the businesses in Turkey are petitioning the government to do what's necessary in order to protect the lira and protect the economy.
Pivoting back to the United States, GE has fallen to a 9-year low. What exactly is going on there?
Yeah, well, GE, of course, is a very troubled company. The previous CEO, Jeffrey Immelt, apparently was hiding a lot of the problems at GE. I'm actually growing a little bit more confident about GE with the new CEO and plans to spin off certain businesses. I think GE stock could certainly go lower before it finally stabilizes and goes higher. But I think it's getting to the point where it might make sense to start accumulating some shares. I think over the long term, many of GE's businesses will continue to thrive.
When it comes to GE, what might begin to turn it around? Is there some sort of change that needs to happen in the business model, or some sell-offs or something?
Well, there is talk about spinning off some businesses. When we see more concrete evidence of that, I think that could give investors the confidence to come back. GE, of course, is over-leveraged. Anything that they can do to reduce the debt in their capital structure, I think, could give investors confidence. I wouldn't buy the stock for the dividend. I think the dividend, which has already been cut, could be eliminated. So that's not the reason to buy it. It's a very speculative play right now. However, I am optimistic that over the long term, the company will survive. I'm not sure I'd be ready to buy the stock yet, but I think it's getting to the point where if you are a long-term investor, it might make sense to buy some shares.
Let's talk oil. It's at $65 right now, down another 3% today. Some challenges, and I guess what's most challenging is the volatility in oil prices.
Yeah, oil has been very volatile lately. Of course, we saw that inventories were a little bit higher than expected, and that's kind of prompting the sell-off. But we also saw that, I believe it was OPEC came out yesterday with its forecast for demand, and it was less than expected. Of course, that's what typically happens when you have a global recession or any type of global slowdown in economic growth. And so the fact that they're reducing the growth prospects for demand is a concern. You know, oil is very indicative of how the economy overall is doing. Now, Saudi Arabia, of course, has had plans for a while to take Aramco, its state-owned oil company, public. And, of course, it is in their best interest to try to boost oil prices before they do that. So my view is that this sell-off in oil could be temporary. We could get down to about $60 a barrel in WTI, but I think eventually the trend will be higher. And I'm looking for oil to go back to around the $70 to $75 level.
Always great insight and analysis. Thanks, Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management. Up next, Personal Finance Wednesday, deciding when to begin collecting Social Security.
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. Conventional thinking says you should wait as long as possible to begin collecting Social Security. But is that true for everyone? We're joined by Liz Weston, columnist for NerdWallet, author of the books Your Credit Score, the fifth edition, and Deal With Your Debt, based in L.A. All right, Liz. So I'll consider you a financial expert, of course. That's why we have you on. Does it make sense?
Absolutely.
Does it ever make sense to take Social Security early?
You know, if you have a terminal cancer diagnosis or something else that's going to cut short your life, then absolutely. Grab the money while you can. The fact is, though, most people are going to be better off waiting, and people are actually finally getting that message. It used to be that the majority of people would grab it as soon as they could at 62. That percentage has been dropping over the years as word is getting out. It's really, really helpful to wait if you possibly can, and a lot of people understand that these are two separate decisions. You can retire but still not grab Social Security right away. You can put that off, maybe tap your retirement funds if that can help you wait. And the reason is your Social Security benefit grows by really a pretty big amount every year you put it off. It's almost 7% between age 62 and age 66. It's 8% a year after that. That's a guaranteed return. You can't get that anywhere else. This is why financial planners are saying, hey, hold up. Don't just grab it as soon as you can.
And is the challenge the fact that when you're talking about taking Social Security, you're messing with actuarial tables here, where people are just wondering, am I going to make it to 90 or am I going to make it to 70? And if I knew, that would determine what decision I made.
Yeah, and you can't possibly know. And the other thing is people get so hung up on the break-even point when it makes more sense, you know, how long they have to live to make waiting worthwhile. Let's put a stop to that. What you really want to look at Social Security as is as longevity insurance. If you live longer than you expect, the longer you live, the more likely you are to run out of money, run through your other savings, and rely even more on Social Security. So that's why making sure that your check is as big as possible is so important. If you're a married couple, the thing to focus on is to make sure that the bigger earner delays as long as possible. What I see way too often is guys grabbing it early, they're the primary earner, they die, and then their widow is left with a smaller check. Because once one of you dies, one of the checks goes away and you have to get by on a single check. It's the larger of the two. So if the primary earner, the bigger earner, can wait as long as possible, that means his widow won't have to be, you know, resorting to cat food or something else in her old age. That ensures that she will at least have a decent Social Security check coming in.
Liz, what about folks who will hear everything you're saying and say, I don't care, I'm still going to take it out early? Are there any penalties?
Well, you're locking in a permanently smaller check. So really, before you do that, go to a financial planner. Go to a fee-only financial planner. Pay a little money to have your situation analyzed. Because I know people will present me with all these spreadsheets, and they kind of tune out the idea that, you know, if they live longer than they expect, they're going to regret this decision. I mean, it can feel good in the moment. Hey, I'm retired. I'm getting these checks coming in. It's really great. The longer you live, the longer you have to regret that decision. So at the very least, go get a second opinion. You don't know what you don't know. And maybe that other person can give you some information that'll change the way you look at this.
So sort of to summarize what you've been saying, there isn't really a right time to take your Social Security, but it's better to take it later than earlier.
Exactly. The longer you can wait, the better. And if you can talk to someone who understands financial planning, who understands Social Security claiming strategies, do not rely on your friends. Don't rely on your neighbors. A lot of people don't understand how this works, and they kind of get the math wrong. go to a fee-only financial planner who has studied this, who understands Social Security claiming strategies, talk to them. If nothing else, go get the book called Get What's Yours. It's written by Larry Kotlikoff. It's a terrific explanation of how this all works.
Thanks so much, Liz Weston, columnist for NerdWallet. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, Macy's issues a better-than-expected report and then sees its stock price drop.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Shares of Macy's take a dive despite earnings and sales that beat the street. Craig Johnson is joining us, president of Customer Growth Partners, based in New Canaan, Connecticut. Craig, what do you see as the problem here with Macy's?
Well, we actually don't see a big problem with Macy's. The quarter they just turned in the first half was really quite credible. It wasn't, you know, outstanding. It was good, if not great. What we're seeing, though, is a sector, meaning the department store sector, that has had a very strong rise, up 70-odd% from the start of the year. And this is sometimes valuations need to take a little bit of a breather.
So maybe some folks taking some profits here. In general, you see the retail sector continuing that rebound?
Absolutely. We put out our back-to-school forecast a month or so ago and calling for record sales up to $595 billion and a 5.1% increase, which would be the best in many, many years. And everything we've seen to date, you know, we're partway through the back-to-school season, has fulfilled that forecast.
Is it normal to see that tax cuts are encouraging more consumer spending and yet still Macy's is struggling a little bit?
Well, their stock price may be struggling today, but we don't think the operations are struggling today. The tax cuts and the job growth we've seen, there's been 3.8 million full-time jobs since the January of last year, and it's that full-time job growth that really provides the disposable income boost that in turn drives retail spending.
So, in general, do you see continuing kind of a shakeout of winners and losers here in retail? Some of maybe the old standbys continuing to go away, but Macy's maybe able to stick it out and turn it around?
Well, we believe they are in the process of turning it around. They've trimmed their fleet, are monetizing some of the excess real estate, and then making all the right kind of moves, whether in the bricks and mortar stores, whether online. With digital, with mobility, they're doing all sorts of stuff that is beginning to move the ship forward. But again, the ship has a pretty good-sized ship with a long turning radius.
Thank you so much. That's Craig Johnson, President, Customer Growth Partners from New Canaan, Connecticut. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street. Sponsored by Top Grading Snapshot at Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we are deep in the red with the Dow down 231 points or almost 1%. Trading now at 25,069, the NASDAQ losing almost 1.5% or 109 points, the S&P down 27, the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is sliding more than 1%. A strong retail sales report isn't helping much, and Macy may have done okay with its quarterly results. They did beat expectations, but investors are concerned that the retailer is spending too much money to make that happen, and its shares are plunging 13.5%. Macy's is the biggest decliner on the S&P. Tesla shares are in the red on a report that the SEC has sent it a subpoena regarding Elon Musk's plan to take Tesla private and his claim that funding was secured for the deal. Fox Business says regulators' investigation has progressed to the formal stage. No comment from Tesla or the SEC. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.